This is the interview about Ayurkusala and Ayurveda on 11th of January 2006. Bante, when I read your paper about the patient's participation in Ayurvedic cure, several questions arose in my mind. In that paper you speak not only about the patient's participation in the cure and the relation between the patient and the doctor, but also about the functioning of the whole organism. Ayurveda, or in Pali Ayurveda, is the holistic approach to health developed and practiced within the Buddhist culture. In your text you mention three types of life energies called in Sinhala Tundosa or Tridosa. The connection between dosa in Ayurveda and dosa in Abhidhamma occurs to me. Please, Bante, elaborate on that.
Yes, Venerable Lady. There are basically two questions, two themes you are opening. That Ayurveda, or in Pali Ayurveda, is the Buddhist system of medicine. Yes, it is. The Hindu system in India is based on Atharva Veda, and Ayurveda disappeared from India together with Buddhism, which disappeared about 1,000 years ago. Of course, the Indian people know about Buddha, and the Hindus say that Buddha is an incarnation of the God Vishnu. They know about the methods of Ayurveda, and some may even use the word, but their conception is different from the Buddhist Ayurveda. The Indian Vaidyas may use the same plants, the same herbs, the same oils, but those Vaidya work in a different way than the Veda Mahatyas, the Ayurveda doctors in Sri Lanka. So this is the first point. Yes, Ayurveda is a Buddhist system of medicine. The second, you speak about the three dosa, three types of disturbance. Dosa is disturbance. And the dosa of Ayurveda is the same as dosa in Buddha Dhamma. Buddha speaks about the three healthy roots, kusala hetu or kusala mula, motivational roots which are healthy. This is the generosity, the tolerant loving kindness, and the intelligent insight. So these are kusala mula or kusala hetu. And Buddha speaks also about the three akusala hetu or akusala mula, which are the roots of pathological development of suffering. And these three unhealthy, these three pathological roots, they are lobha, dosa, moha. And lobha is sort of attraction, disturbance by too much. Attraction, attachment, greed. Dosa is the disturbance by repulsion, disturbance, disturbing, dosa is disturbing in the proper sense of hateful, refusing, disturbing, upsetting sense. So dosa is often translated as hate, which can be valid in very general sense, but it is that repulsion, pushing away. And the third root, unwholesome root, root of suffering, is moha. And moha is a sort of disturbance by darkening, obscuring. It is translated as ignorance or not knowing. It is just in fact blurring or obscuring, making unconscious, making not known. So lobha, dosa, moha are the three roots of suffering in the Buddha teaching, and the dosa can be of three types, and then it is called tun dosa.
Bhante, could you be more specific about the relation between the three akusala mula, that is the three unwholesome roots of suffering, and the three types of dosa? Some people speak about the three dosa as about the three life energies, that is, as if they were some positive qualities.
Mm-hmm. Positive qualities in Ayurveda are called guna, the same in Buddha Dhamma. The positive qualities of the world, which we can experience by the senses, are called by Buddha the pancha kama guna. This world of senses, kama loka, kama, sensuality, senses, is something which has the qualities of seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling and touching. So these are five qualities of the senses, pancha, kama, guna. Of course, the term guna is used in many various other things, the qualities of Buddha, which are remembered by every Buddhist, also by the Ayurvedic doctor who is Buddhist. They are called Buddhu Guna in Sinhala, Buddha Guna, the qualities of Buddha. In Ayurveda specifically, there are three guna, three qualities, life qualities, which are being talked about, and these are the qualities of rajas, tamas, and sattva, or satta. So raja, guna, is the heat quality. Tamas, guna, is the quality of endurance, of heaviness, and sattva is the quality of light, of clarity, clearness, sattva, satta. And so these are the qualities, but the dosa, they are not qualities. Dosa are disturbances, and they are disturbances either of the feverish type, which is pitta dosa. Pitta is not the same as rajas. Pitta is fever, feverish. Rajas is fire, fears. But pitta is rather something heaty, unhealthy, burning, feverish, fever. It is the pitta dosa, out of the tun dosa, is such a disturbance which causes too much heat in the body, fever, burning, inflammation, and so on. The second, kapha dosa, or shlesma, is the disturbance by heaviness, slowing down, sluggish, sluggishness. It is the quality of inflammation, of phlegm, of pus. Okay, so this is the quality of sluggishness, of phlegm, kapha dosa. And the third one is the vindi. It is the sort of blowing and dissipating quality. This is the wind blows in the heap of dust. So it dissipates. It is the quality of fluttering, of not being anchored, fluttering like butterfly. So the three disturbances dosa are the fever, pitta dosa, the phlegm, the kapha dosa, and the vindi, fluttering of vata dosa. And these three dosa are all of them the type of disturbance which is sort of refusal, repulsion, and disturbance in the sense of dosa hetu of abhidhamma. The lobha hetu, the attraction, the heat, is something which is in the is not disturbance, but is deficiency, lack of something, something which is wanted. Lobha is greed, greedy. Trying to get something, which then comes into the form of attachment, of clinging, upadana, or the form of desire, tanha. And of course it can be desire for the sensual things, for the senses, kama, tanha, or it can be desire to grow, to become big, like tumor, and it is bhava, tanha, or it can be desire to destroy, vibhava tanha, to kill, to destroy oneself, to destroy other things. But this vibhava tanha is type of lobha, of trying to get something which is different from the disturbance, hateful disturbance of dosa. So these are the lobha hetu and dosa hetu according to Abhidhamma. According to Abhidhamma we have also the third one. This is moha hetu, and it is the motivation to make things unconscious, to darken the darkness, blurring, obscuration, to obscure, not know. And it is sometimes translated as unknowing, and compared to avijja. It is opposite of vijja, which is knowing, but here the moha comes very close to the opposite of that sattva principle in Ayurveda. So Ayurveda knows three qualities, rajas, tamas, and sattva, so three guna, and Ayurveda knows three disturbances, tuna, dosa, which are part of the unwholesome motivational roots in Abhidhamma.
So, Bhanta, it means that those three dosa are not positive qualities, so they are disturbances, but many people saying that they are sort of positive qualities, this tundosha. So how it is today with the modern Ayurveda, with the offer of Ayurveda?
So there are two things to explain this. First thing is, it is the question of marketing, business. So when they are selling Ayurveda to Westerners, so they sell the fever, they sell the inflammation, phlegm, and they sell the flatulation. So they would sell you fever, pitta, dosa, they would sell you kapha dosa, and they would sell you vata dosa. And they say these are qualities, and then they would even explain that they are necessary for certain functions. It is nonsense. For the functioning of the body, of the organism, according to Ayurveda, are responsible the qualities, the guna, the positive qualities. There is also other things that in general knowledge, now the tuna dosa, that there is a sort of a shift of meaning. The ancient Ayurveda doctors, they were very often Buddhist monks, and they knew the Buddha Dhamma. The most famous books on Ayurveda are Charaka Samhita. Charaka means the wandering monk. The other book is by Bhikkhu Atreya. Bhikkhu Atreya knew not only Ayurveda, but he knew the Buddha Dhamma. So those old Veda Mahatyas, those old Ayurvedic doctors, they knew well Buddha Dhamma, Abhidhamma. They knew about Lobha Dosa Moha, and they knew about Alobha, about Dana, Adosa, about Metta, and about Panya, or Vijja. But nowadays, some of those people who sell Ayurveda, they don't know about Buddhism. So they develop their public relation and advertisement strategies about selling fever, phlegm, and flatulation. They would not understand that there are other things.
That this is only the part of the system.
Yes.
As a whole.
But Venerable Vajira, you are recite, you are doing daily the puja, and you recite several suttas. And there is one sutta,
Girimananda
Sutta, where those three dosa,
Ita samutana abadha, vata samutana abadha, asamha samutana abadha.
Yes, exactly. So these are the diseases, abadha, which are due to the pitta, due to kapha, sema, and due to the vata. Eh? And those abadha, the three dosa diseases, they are just three of eight. Eh? Buddha speaks about the eight types of the diseases in Girimananda Sutta. And these are the diseases due to the injury, due to the wrong handling, due to the thermal changes, due to the attack, and also due to the karma vipaka, which we would say psychosomatic or ethically caused diseases. So all these eight types of diseases are known in Ayurveda, of course only by those Ayurveda doctors who know the Buddha Dhamma, who know the Girimananda Sutta, who know Abhidhamma.
Bhante, I would like to make this interview very simple, just not theoretical, but rather practical. The paper about patient's participation aims down to the point of direct experience of patient in the healing process.
Yes.
So.
Yes, I was using that paper with the patients, mostly German-speaking patients. You have read the English version of the paper, but the original version was in German. And it was for the Swiss, German and Austrian people who came to that Ayurveda Niketanaya Barberin. And they got the paper, and I had with them twice a week meetings, group sessions, on Monday and on Thursday. And of course we were going through the paper, and they read the paper, and then they were asking questions. And those people were neither Buddhists, not medical practitioners. They were patients, and they wanted to know.
I was thinking that the paper is written for the Western patients, for the Americans and for the Europeans.
So exactly.
It came to my mind that the Ayurveda is not only being used for the Buddhist people, but it is possible in the principle can be used for anyone.
And one doesn't have to make one Buddhist to use Ayurveda.
Exactly. So
but there are three aspects of Ayurveda, three realms of Ayurvedic treatment, which are called Vyaprasha, and it is the bodily treatment, which deals with everything one gets into touch with. This is the food, the medicine, the herbs, the oils. Then there is that psychological treatment, which includes meditation, yoga exercises, and this is that sattva problem, clarifying the quality of sattva, sattva vyaprasaya, and there is meditation included. Then there is the spiritual aspect or ethical aspect, daiva, deva, vyaprasaya. So the Buddhism and Buddhist meditation doesn't come in the spiritual aspect, but in the psychological. In the spiritual aspect it is the rituals, and of course for Buddhists, the Buddhist rituals. But Ayurveda patient who is Muslim or Christian would work upon the Muslim or Christian ethics. The Buddhist would do the Panchasila, the five ethical decisions, but the Christian patient would remember the Ten Commandments, the Ten Mosaic Commandments, the same with the Jewish patient. And one doesn't have to make one Buddhist to use Ayurveda.
Exactly. Bhante, thank you very much for explanation. I would like to ask you also the questions for each paragraph of that text, but I think it would be rather another interview. So thank you very much for what we have done. Thank you.